This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He drives one in the air to right. If it stays fair, it's got a chance to leave the yard. That ball is gone. Pete Crow Armstrong with a home run to right. Cubs lead 2-0. The 2-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. High fastball got him. Cubs win the game and they sweep the three-game series.
You know who that is. That's our friend, the birthday boy himself, Pat Hughes, calling part of what ended up being a three-game sweep of the Cubs over the Rockies. And we're happy with that. It's okay. They don't always have to be world beater games. It can be a 2-1 ball game, and you can appreciate the art in it. And I feel like that's what happened over this past three game set. The weather dictated we weren't going to see a lot of runs being scored, but I think there is an expectation where when the general manager talks about blowouts being the true measure of success of a team, you expected to see one in that three game set against a Rockies team that is now 9-47. It's not even June, and they already have 47 losses.
Or it's not even June, and they're still looking for their 10th win. Single digits is crazy.
Yeah, the math is mathing hard here.
You know what I was thinking about yesterday? I was watching that Wolves game, and I was like, oh, what's worse, 9 wins at this point or 9 points in the first quarter of an elimination game for your team, like a playoff send-home elimination game? They're both pretty bad.
I think the first quarter one might be worse because you got the opportunities to get you there, and then you just lay the biggest of eggs.
The biggest thing about this series is what I learned from it. What we're starting to learn about this team is they can indeed win without putting up double-digit runs in a series. I love that. They outscored the Rockies over three games, 9-5, including 2 one-run wins, a game that went to extra innings, which we had the opportunity to go to, and now they've won 4 in a row, 7 of 8, 10 of their last 12, and are now 12-3 in the stretch of 21 straight games against sub-500 opponents. And the whole point is you have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat if you're a good team. And when I say supposed to beat, I don't mean other teams you're contending against for the division. I just mean the bottom of the barrel teams, teams who are in last place.
I mean, I will say this. Typically when we see a division or a team who far and away has more wins than anybody else in the respective league, whether it's AL or NL, it's usually because they're in a division that has a team that's as bad as the Rockies. Part of the reason for the Dodgers' inverse record is because they've had so much success previously, especially when it was the unbalanced schedule. You know, that was a big reason why. That's why you saw the likelihood of 100 win seasons for a lot of these teams, is because there was one team like that that you could beat up on a regular basis. This is different, but the 2-1 game is sexy for me for a lot of different reasons, just because it comes down to the finer points of baseball. One of the things that baseball did, not just in having the now balanced schedule, was also that they wanted to encourage stealing when they increased the size of the bases. We talked about it a little bit when it first started to happen. I feel like that was a focal point the first season after. But now you're really seeing the fruits of the labor. Like, here we are talking about the importance of sending PCA in the 11th inning and making that gutsy steal of third base, for example. You're understanding how that played into a just simple base hit for Matt Shaw, resulting in a Cubs win. You know, those are the finer points. Same with this 2-1 ball game. Again, we talk about PCA, but this time it's because that home run that he hit was bizarre. Like, the question on MLB.com was, how did he hit this? And I get it, because that thing was low, and the launch angle he had was 36 degrees. Like, that is wild.
PCA continues to amaze, looking at a possible 40-40 season, if he can keep it up. And I'm not saying I do or don't expect him to keep up this current pace that he's on, but he's probably going to have a very good season this year based on what's already transpired. Whether he becomes a 10 war player or he's just a 6-7 war player, it's going to be a very good season for Pete Crow Armstrong.
These are your options.
And so these are great options. And people want to find, you know, the holes to poke in whatever is going on, even when it's positive. That's just kind of where we are.
We do it too. But yeah, it's just a matter of case-by-case basis.
But I want people to understand, just because they didn't score more than 4 runs in this series in any individual game, they scored 3 runs, then 4 runs, then just 2 runs. But the fact that they were able to win those games, that's important. And it's something we talked to Ian Happ about. And listen, this is not unexpected, because weather is a factor. And yes, it's almost June, but it has not been warm. It has been cold and the wind has been blowing in. But I asked him specifically about Wrigley Field in these conditions, and he talked about how this is kind of how they have to be able to win games when they're not putting up 7-8 runs.
When you're playing in an environment like Wrigley, you know, the last couple of days, the wind's been blowing in. It's tough to score runs.
Yeah.
It's a really tough run-scoring environment. We hit a bunch of balls hard yesterday that, you know, on a normal day or in a different ballpark are probably putting up a bunch of runs. I think Dansby hit the first 2 balls that he hit were absolutely scorched. And so when you're on the wrong side of it, from the wind standpoint, like, they had 2 balls that got out the last 2 days, and we hit a bunch of balls hard that didn't go. So
Carson Kelly almost hit one.
Carson hit a ball, hit a rocket that just got caught up. And so it's tough to be able to put up runs in that environment. So you're going to be playing close games. There'll probably be another one tonight. I think the wind's going to be blowing in again. So you're sticking with it, and our offense has done such a good job of that. And I can't say enough about what the bullpen did, locking it down yesterday, and Flex coming in and putting up those 2 big innings to give us a chance.
So you hear that from Ian Happ before the 2-1 game that transpired before our very eyes last night. And it gives you an understanding that these players know what they're up against and they're comfortable with it. And you might be like, well, how can they be comfortable with only scoring 2 runs, 3 runs, 4 runs? We've been seeing an explosive offense. I think the reason people aren't as happy with what just happened, even though it was a 3-game sweep, and that's the best you can do when you play 3 games, is win all 3 games.
What about the Rockin' Jock, where there's like a 4-point shot and stuff?
No 4-point shot here. There's no 5-run home run to be had.
Oh, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's how I know Ian isn't just comfortable with playing in those conditions, and he talked about having somewhat of an advantage because they're used to it. It happens all the time when you play at Wrigley Field, especially at night, right? Because I asked also, okay, so you are scoring 6 runs per game. Is that actually sustainable? Something that only one Cubs team in history has ever done before, of doing an entire season. Here's what he had to say in response to that.
I think as long as guys stay healthy, I think this is the version of the Cubs that we kind of all expect or believe that we can be. And it's not going to be linear. It's not going to be exactly like this all year, right? You're not going to get the exact performance from every guy. There's going to be ups and downs for everybody. But I think our lineup's built in a way where when one guy is going through his 2-week tough stretch, the other guys are going to pick him up. And I think you'll continue to see that kind of throughout the course of the year. And I think as long as we stay healthy, I think we have the ability to do that. And to the point of the weather, like we've been the best offensive team on the road in baseball this year. And I think that's kind of a testament to our ability to hit balls out of the ballpark, our ability to score in different ways. And it's something that I think I've talked about a lot today, but I really do believe that that's what makes this sustainable, is it's not just guys hitting homers with 2 guys on base. It's a lot of different ways and kind of up and down the lineup. It's not 2 guys that are carrying the whole group. You know, Pete and Saya and the amount of runs they've been able to drive in has been awesome, but you're getting it from Tucker, from Carson, from Miggy, from Dansby, like all the way up and down the lineup. You know, you're getting production, and that's huge.
Just keep naming names, because all the names from top to bottom have been doing big things. And I love that he mentioned the offense on the road and how great it's been. Most of their big, huge games, they either come when the wind's blowing out at Wrigley or just all they have to do is play away from Wrigley. And the biggest thing, Layla, got a great test of that coming up. 10-game road trip. Nine-game road trip. No place better to test it out than a 9-game road trip.
Yeah, and 3 of those games are against the Detroit Tigers. And yeah, if you really want to see if you can bop, that ballpark will let you know. I also appreciate the lineup that we saw yesterday. 2-1 ball game, right? So for me, that's like special happy time. We saw Ian Happ leading off. Then it was Tucker. Then it was Seiya Suzuki. Seiya Suzuki, you're one of the RBI producers in that game. You got 2. So he's batting third. He's your DH. Your cleanup hitter, Pico Armstrong, I mentioned the home run. He was your other RBI producer. He was batting cleanup in that game. Then you had Carson Kelly. Then you had Michael Bush, Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner, Matt Shaw. That's how that lineup should look. And in case you're wondering if this Cubs offense is doing more than you even may think, given the RBI production, far and away the RBI leader in Major League Baseball, 322 of them so far. Number 2 is the Dodgers at 301. Yankees are 3rd at 293. That's statistically significant when you consider the difference between the Cubs and the Dodgers RBI production.
And the Dodgers are raking. Freddie Freeman is putting an exclamation point on his Hall of Fame career right now.
He's having a fabulous season.
And all that to say, as long as they can figure out the starting pitching element of this, because now it's gone from, okay, you know, the concern was third base, right? Mm-hmm. And the concern was the bullpen. I have more concern about the starting rotation than either of those two departments when it comes to the Cubs right now, because I believe that Craig Counsell has it going with the bullpen. Different guys coming up, different guys doing roles. Guys hurt, doesn't matter. And then Matt Shaw at third base has solved a lot of the questions about the lineup in general. And where did I tell you PCA should hit? Where did I say Pete Crow Armstrong should be hitting?
You had him hitting right where he was hitting yesterday.
Clean up.
Number 4.
That would be number 4. That's exactly where he should be hitting. And so now I'm just looking at the starting rotation with, do you have enough bullets from the 5 guys in the rotation right now to get not only through the regular season, but to mount a postseason run? They're going to have to make a trade for, if not 1, maybe 2 starting pitchers.
And also just giving some more fun with numbers here. If you need more to prove that this is not just about 1 or 2 people on the Cubs lineup, but the entire lineup hitting in a hole. When I tell you that they've got 322 RBIs as a team, consider that in the National League alone, your top 3 in OPS all belong to the Dodgers. It's Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, and Will Smith in that order. What does that say when it comes to how good your lineup is as a whole right now? Like, this is a team effort we're seeing.
I think the situational aspect of it, the Cubs have just come up so big in so many situations, and that's how they've been able to build a record 14 games above 500. The fact that they are playing right now at such a successful clip is telling you, hey, just beat the teams you're supposed to and then compete with the other good teams. You don't have to beat them all the time. Because remember, before this stretch of games, they had lost back-to-back series against the New York Mets and the San Francisco Giants, but it hasn't mattered in the grand scheme of things.
Well, we were worried about how they performed against the Marlins, so I feel like all of this is valid to discuss. Like that, yes. I mean, I could see where it would be considered a red flag if you only beat the Rockies by a score of 2-1. Sure. But at the same time, when you consider how it was done, especially when pitching also got to shine, I'm okay with it. Like, I'm happy about all those things. 630 brings up a good point over text. What scares me about PCA is that he swings at a pitch just inches off of the ground and golfs it out of the park, but misses waist-high fastballs over the middle of the plate. Yes, and you know what that turns into? Swinging and looking silly against a slider. So, yeah, I'm with you when it comes to pitch selection. I'm sure that's something that they go over, too. But for whatever reason, he's got an eye for that low ball like that. And for right now, it's working. That's the hard part, is you don't want them to change too much, like Ian Happ said yesterday. But there is a flip side of that that can make you look really bad at times.
I like the aggression on PCA. And I'm not saying that his pitch selection is always great, but I'd rather him keep the attitude that has gotten him this level of success in this lineup, because there's other guys who do the things that you prototypically would like a batter to do. And that's why when people are like, PCA should hit leadoff, I was like, nah, put him in the 3-hole or the 4-hole, because that way his bat matters more. And he's not pressured to take more pitches as a leadoff guy. Ian Happ is perfectly suited for that role.
Can we add a number six to the five on it right now?
Oh, what do you got?
This is for the group, number six.
Number six.
I don't have that ready.
Is Justin Steele's arm the same arm that Ray used to have? The bionic arm that goes...
It absolutely is. I'm having flashbacks from two summers ago when I dislocated my elbow and I wore the arm brace that looks like a robot arm, and I had every single person that I know come up to me and say, like, hey, he looks like you have a robot arm.
Poor Justin Steele. You know that people are probably doing the same thing to him too, right?
I'm sure.
But do you think he did the same thing you did, where every time you move it or he moves it, he goes...
So when I saw...
Or it's like Grandma's Boy, where the guy thinks he's in the Matrix and then makes all the noises.
I had four distinct successive, like back-to-back-to-back-to-back thoughts when I saw Justin Steele walking around the outfield. Here were the thoughts. First was Bionic 6, was an 80s cartoon... Bionic 6, ooh. Second, Inspector Gadget, because that arm, you know, what them arms do.
Go-Go Gadget arm?
Yeah, Go-Go Gadget arm.
Do-do-do-do, Inspector Gadget.
Guys, all of our lives are turning into Inspector Gadget. Do you know how cool I thought it was that Penny could FaceTime Brain on her watch?
Well,
and now that's a thing.
That's a thing. Her and Michael Knight, they knew what was going on well before we did. The third one was the video game, 8-bit, of course, Bionic Commando, because he's swinging around with his bionic arm. And the fourth thing, I forgot what the fourth thing was because I had four.
Well, I'll tell you this, man, the phrase "what them arms do" is now going to be in my head forever.
What them arms do.
My bad.
No, that's fantastic. What are you talking about? That's a great line. It's like when I once said what I said and then I was like, whoa, can't say that on broadcast.
See, I want him to be like Henry Rowan Gardner. You know the movie Rookie of the Year?
Never heard of it. Tell me about
Cubs
it.
Pitcher. Obviously, everyone here knows about
Henry
it.
Rowan Gardner never hangs out at Cubs games either.
And never sings the seventh inning stretch every year.
Can you imagine if Justin Steele could just throw like 200 miles per hour like this 10-year-old kid? That'd be sick.
If only Justin Steele.
He'd be Daniel Palencia.
And his bionic arm could throw 200 miles an hour. Then we would really have something, guys. Then we would have a contending team.
Oh, $6 Million Man. That was the other one.
Wow, that is a lot of thoughts altogether. Yeah. I just thought about Ray's bionic arm.
Yeah.
I just asked if people knew Rookie of the Year when we're in Chicago. So, my bad, Chicago.
You know what? It really was you knowing something that you're too young to know, and unfortunately, all of us, the target demo, knowing exactly what you were talking about.
Okay, that's good.
Next assignment for you is watching The Godfather.
Oh, I've seen The Godfather.
I know people who haven't. It's really scary.
No, great movie.
Yeah, it's
I've never seen Dumb and Dumber, though. I need to see Dumb and Dumber. That's the one movie I haven't seen.
Oh, wow.
Or any Star Wars.
All right, yeah, that's got to happen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.